Have you finished your personal statement yet? Now's the perfect time to get it professionally reviewed by a medical school HQ expert advisor. We have former directors of admissions, admissions officers, and the like on our small team of amazing people. They have the inside knowledge from reading thousands and thousands and thousands, tens, if not 100,000 personal statements going through the process and setting up the process for their whole committee. They know exactly what medical schools look for and the common red flags that can get your entire application thrown out. Take advantage of our flash sale right now, going through May 6th, up to 6,000 characters reviewed for just $150. That's a $75 discount on our regular price. Go to editmyps.com. Again, that's editmyps.com. What happens if you're academically dismissed from your first undergrad? Go on a life-changing journey to figure out that you want to be a doctor, but doubt your ability to get into medical school, and then find some random podcast that gives you the motivation. And you meet that guy at a meetup in San Diego, and he's like, yeah, go for it. And you finally get that acceptance to your dream school. That's what we're going to talk about today in the pre-med years, session number 479. Hello, and welcome to The Pre-Med Years, where we believe that collaboration, not competition, is key to your success. I'm your host, Dr. Ryan Gray, and in this podcast, we share with you stories, encouragement, and information that you need to know to help guide you on your path to becoming a physician. Welcome to The Pre-Med Years. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm excited to have Justin on to share his story from academic dismissal, being lost in his journey to figure out what he wanted to do after failing to be a pilot because of his color vision deficiency. And we're going to talk about the path that he took to finally realize that this is what he wants, to finally realize how to get what he wants, and to get that email in the middle of the gym letting him know he got into his dream school. Before we jump into that, though, I want to talk about the MCAT Minutes brought to you by Blueprint MCAT. If you are studying for the MCAT, one of the biggest mistakes that you can make is focusing too much on content review. Yes, you have to know the content, but the MCAT is a test much, much bigger than content review. You have to practice questions. You have to practice full lengths. Go sign up for a free account over at blueprintmcat.com and check out their half-length diagnostic and their free full-length exam. And if you like that, go check out all of their full-length exams and their amazing QBank, again, at blueprintmcat.com. Justin, welcome to the pre-med years. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me. It's nice to be back where it all started.
Back where it all started. This is where it all started, apparently. Let's talk about that. When did it start? When did you first realize you wanted to be a physician?
The age-old question. I think, it was later than most. I didn't really realize it my first time in through college. I did an enlistment in the Navy, and that's kind of where I figured it out. I had a problem with my eyes, which kind of forced me in a direction. You know, I was given three options. It was either to be a cook, go into logistics, or become a corpsman, which I had no idea what that was. They told me it was like a medic, so I was like, you know, that sounds cool. Let's do that.
Yeah.
And then my first job out of training was in labor and delivery. And, I assisted in my first birth, and the doctor like handed over this baby to me, this new baby that I took over to the warmer, and like the whole room was crying. I started crying. And then after, I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to do medicine for the rest of my life. Like, I want to be a physician. And that's kind of when it got into my head. And that just grew over my years.
Yeah. So just a random, like, I'm going to join the military And there are these three jobs I could do. This one sounds okay, so I'll just go ahead and do it. And here you are. One, two, skip a few. Here you are.
Yeah, I was, you know, kind of, I don't know if people believe in fate or not, but I was kind of forced into this, I feel, forced into this path. And, you know, I just wound up here. You know?
Yeah. What was the original plan going into college? What were you thinking about?
I wanted to be a pilot. That didn't work out. My first year, I kind of went, my whole life, my family had this like idea that I was colorblind, and I didn't really accept it. All my friends would make fun of me. Like, we'd pass a car, but like, oh, look at that car. Like, that's a cool shade of purple or something. They're like, are you, that's green, man. Are you sure? So, you know, it was always in the back of my mind, but I went to go get my physical, and I failed the vision test, the color vision test, by like two points. They gave me like the little lantern test too after the circles, and barely failed that one too. So it was just enough to kind of just put an end to what I had been dreaming about since I was like in elementary school.
Yeah. And how old were you when that happened?
I just came out of high school. So I was 18, 19 when I found out.
So 18, for sure. 19 years old, already committed to going to college at that point?
I was already in college.
Yeah. Already in college. You get this news that I would assume is pretty devastating. Like, well, crap. What's next? Does that hurt your GPA at all? What happens then?
It hurt pretty bad.
Yeah.
It hurt really bad. I mean, and I don't know if I can blame it all on the vision. There was a lot that was going on in my life, like in that time with my parents. My parents were getting divorced. Mm. It was kind of rough. And so it all kind of even started in high school. I left high school with a 2.5. I should not have graduated when I did, but my English teacher knew what I was going through. And instead of giving me a D in his class, he gave me a B+, I think. For some reason, he graded my final paper super high and gave me a hug at graduation, and I was like, man, I'm going to college. So
wow.
And then that was kind of like the nail in the coffin when I found out about my vision, and it all just kept going downhill, and yeah, my grades tanked.
Yeah.
And I kept trying. I was like, you know, I can get through this. I even talked to some other recruiters for like Air Force and stuff. I was like, can I recover from this? And they said, yeah. So I tried for a second year, didn't work out. I changed my degree like four times, I think. And then for my third year, at the end of my second year, I got academically separated, like put on probation from my college. I had to write an essay to the dean to get back into college. I was like, I promise I've figured out what I want to do. I can change it. And so I got back in for a third year, and I changed my degree to electrical engineering, which is what my dad does. Mm-hmm. I figured I would like that. I didn't.
And, I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of that year, I got kicked out because I couldn't maintain a 2.5.
Yeah. So you get kicked out of college, and what do? You go run to the military, which is what a lot of students do. A lot of people do in this country specifically, of like, well, school's not my thing. What's next? I'll go to the military. Maybe I'll get some discipline there.
Yeah.
You have this just epiphany, not even an epiphany. You're kind of fate, as you mentioned it, right? Kind of put into this career field in the military. And the rest is history. Like, then it's like, okay, I want to go to medical school. Easy peasy, right? Then that's it.
Easy peasy. Yeah, I wish.
Easy peasy. So, all right. So you have this like this kind of moment where you're holding this baby. Everyone's crying. You're crying. You're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I want this feeling for the rest of my life. What do you do with that? What's next?
Well, then reality set in, and I realized, I was like, man, I really messed up in college. And I don't think it ever hit me before until then. I was, when I like finally had like a goal, and I was like, yes, this is, you know, pilot's gone. This is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Then yeah, that reality hit hard, and I was like, nope, I can't do it. So I was committed to, you know, getting into something else, like a, in medicine still, but maybe going the PA route or NP route, and kind of didn't pick up wanting to be a physician again for a while, for maybe 2-3 years.
Where were you gathering intel on what it took to get into medical school, and looking back at your journey going, oh yeah, never mind, there's no way I'm going to get in? Like, who was feeding you this information and telling you that you couldn't do it?
I feel like some of the docs I worked with, kind of told me about their journey and like what it took to get into med school. And that kind of scared me off. And then I would look into, you know, forums, you know, the notorious SDN, and, I would read those and I'm like, man, there's no way that this is going to work out. So that kind of steered me away and pushed me down other paths for a while.
Yeah. How far down those other paths did you get?
I mean, not crazy far. My first like enlistment, my first duty station was in Japan. So there wasn't like much that I could do out there as far as college. So I think my last year there, I started up online through ASU. I started knocking out a few courses because I was like, you know, at the very least, I need to get my bachelor's done. And I knew the rest, you know, my next duty station hopefully would be in the States, and I could start on like maybe some science classes and stuff. So that's kind of where I started. I started knocking out prereqs, basically had to start a whole new degree over. And then luckily I got stationed in San Diego, and then that's when I found your podcast. And then I was like, okay, you know, maybe.
So you're saying there's a chance.
It kind of crept back into my mind. And I was like, okay, maybe I should try this.
What for you as you're going through this journey, right? Just kind of thrown into the Corman world and healthcare world. And then you're out exploring, okay, doctor, nurse / MP, PA. How were you trying to figure out, well, yeah, like being a PA is quote unquote good enough for what I want out of my life. That's what I'm going to do. Why was this potential like MDDO world out there for you something that you wanted more than another career field?
I mean, I think that was like kind of the beauty of the military for me, is in being a corpsman, you get a lot more liberties than you would like as a civilian. I could do a lot more. At some points I was doing the same work as a nurse in the emergency room. I did a lot of like paramedic work out at the fire stations, and I kind of got to bounce around a lot. I worked in mental health a lot for like TBIs, and I got to see like various different specialties in the medical field, like speech language pathology and everything, neurology. I got to see like the PAs in the ER and see what they got to do. And I think my interest really lied in emergency medicine, and I was happy because I saw them every day and they were doing the work still that I wanted to do. But, you know, DOMD was still in the back of my mind, is like, I loved like one of my docs in Japan, he was a DO, and he would take us back into like the trauma room at night when it was dead, and he'd do like manipulative medicine on us and kind of teach us. And so I think a lot of my mentors were MDDOs, and that meant a lot to me and it impacted me a lot.
Yeah. So you're like, okay, like I want to go to medical school. I think that's my goal. How do you build up the courage that going from being academically dismissed to getting to medical school was possible?
It was from a few different people, and I'd say one big one was you. I posted up on Facebook my story, but like honestly, that big like changing point that okay, I can do this. I had been through like a year and a half of my online credits, and I went to a meetup with you in San Diego, and at that Thai restaurant, you know, we all told our stories. And you were like, you know, it sounds like you've recovered and you've shown that upward trend and like it's possible for you to get in. And I don't know, like maybe just hearing that after hearing a lot of people saying it's not possible made me like really excited inside. And I remember I went home and like my two best friends, they were my roommates, Mike and Bailey at the time, I told them, I was like, the first thing I went into the room, I was like, hey, I'm going for it. I was like, I'm going to do it. And they were like so excited. And it was just like the first time, like I felt excited about going for a dream. And then even my mentor at work, he told me, he's like, you know what? He's like, I thought this the whole time. He's just like, why not? Why don't you just go for it?
Yeah.
So that was it.
So that if I'm remembering correctly, was like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago, I think. I'd have to look back.
What,
I think it was around 4 years.
What has taken so long? What was needed to get from that moment where you had built up enough confidence, maybe a little bit of external validation from me at dinner, led to you going, okay, I'm ready. Oh, but I have all of this work to do. What have you been doing in those years since?
Well, like since then, I still had time on my contract. I think I probably like 2 years left at that point.
In the military.
And I hadn't started physical classes yet. I was still had only been online.
Okay.
So, you know, I it took a little while. I started off slow at first. I went to a couple community college classes. I didn't do science classes at first. So the first semester I just took some like extracurriculars, night classes. I would like get off work, go to the barracks, change, and then head out to school for night classes and just to kind of figure out what I needed to do to succeed in school. And it didn't quite work out the first semester. I think I got a C and two B's, I'm pretty sure. But it helped a lot to figure out like what I needed to do to succeed and change my mindset a little bit on how I best study. And then after that, it was all, I kind of put the pedal to the metal after that and probably pushed it a little too hard. But I went to three different schools. I did my online classes. I went to my community college for most of my prereqs. And then I know a lot of people I had read said, you know, after being academically, you know, not stellar in the past, it would be good to prove yourself at a four-year. So I went to a local four-year and took a couple science classes there at the same time.
Yeah. So you, we'll fast forward a little bit. Were academically dismissed. You're yes. doing most of your prereqs at a community college. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
Did that come up at all in any of your interviews?
Yeah, I mean, community college and an online degree.
Yeah.
And yeah, none of that came up in any of my interviews.
None? Okay. Yeah. All right.
Big shocker, right?
Shocker. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, 90% of my prereqs were done at a community college and two classes were done at a four-year.
Okay. All right. So obviously showing that you're incapable of doing well at a four-year university because you got kicked out of one and just kind of scrounged together a couple classes at another. And then everything else was done at a community college. So therefore, you are not med school material, which kind of burying the lead a little bit. Yeah, maybe you are. So it sounds like in the interim, right, you finally are like, it's a go. Like, this is, I'm green lighting it. I'm going for it. This is what I want. You still have a couple of years left on the military contract. You need to take a bunch of classes, everything else going on. You're getting clinical experience, right? Because you're in the military as a corpsman working, getting clinical experience. What were there any activities outside of the military, volunteering, shadowing, doing stuff outside of military medicine that you wanted to do or thought you had to do that you ended up doing?
I mean, in the military, it's kind of a given, you know, if you're in the military, you know, in order to make rank, you know, progress, it's kind of a given. You need to do community service, to kind of bolster up your app. But I did do a lot of community service throughout my 5 years in the military. But I wanted to show, you know, continued volunteer work. So when I did separate, I still had 2 years, a year and a half or so of classes left. So I did get a job at one of my local hospitals. And then I started volunteering at a nonprofit food project. And I did that for 2 years. And that was the only volunteer work I did outside of that.
Okay. So not any sort of clinical experience outside of what you were already doing in the military. Okay. And once you got out of the military, how did you continue getting clinical experience while also knowing that grades were probably your most important thing that you needed to focus on?
I mean, luckily, work in the military doesn't translate a lot into the civilian world. There's not a lot of certs we can get. We can challenge a few exams, but luckily in California, they do allow us to work as an MA without a license, under a physician's license. And so that's how I got continued my medical experience. I worked as an MA at one of the hospitals.
That's for anyone or for prior military?
Prior military.
Okay.
Cool.
Prior corpsman medic. Yeah. Okay. So you get out of the military and then you work as an MA without needing any sort of special certification and stuff. So that's awesome. How did you balance doing that and making sure that, you know what, like as a student, my goal is as close to a 4.0 as possible?
Oh, I don't even know how I did it. it's all about having a good support network, I think. Like, I met some really good people. They weren't all even pre-meds, but we all supported each other. I worked part-time as an MA. I did my volunteer work, and then I would do all my classes. And at night, I would do late nights doing all my homework and studying, and we would pull, like, 2 a.m. study sessions in the labs to make sure we were okay. But, yeah, I think we pushed each other, and finding a good support network really helped me to maintain like my 4.0 and keep my, if I wasn't at work, I was doing schoolwork.
Yeah. Making it all happen. So at what point did you go, okay, I think I'm ready. I'm ready to lay down the gauntlet and go through this application process.
Oh, I wanted to wait until I graduated. Like, I had my degree done. So luckily at the end of that, I think at the end of all of it, I had maybe 220 credit hours completed. And so all my prereqs were done. My degree was complete. And I finally, like, looking after over it all, I was like, man, I broke 3.0. I had a 3.29 when I applied in both science and overall. And I was like, it was time to go.
Okay, so you were looking at final GPA numbers. In terms of your final X number of credits as close to a 4.0 as possible, How many credits was that? Was that 30 credits, 40 credits, 60 credits? What did that look like?
Before I applied?
In terms of that upward trend, how many credits was that upward trend when you applied?
It was a lot.
It was a lot.
Yeah, it was basically a whole new degree. So maybe it was probably like 120
credits. Yeah.
Credit hours.
Okay. So yeah. A lot. All right. So, and that's always the question that students have is like, when do I know it's enough? And nobody can answer that except for yourself. It's just a risk calculus equation of, am I comfortable applying knowing that I could do another semester or another year, or I want to apply now and I'll keep taking, like, it's hard, right? It's hard to know. And it's each individual person is the only one that can truly determine, okay, I'm ready. So yeah,
even after that, I was still scared. I was still considering like going into an S&P or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, like, I just got to like send it, you know, I just got to go and try this. If I don't get it insured, then I'll look at other options afterwards.
Yeah. But, So you and I worked on your application. You were one of the last kind of one-on-one students that I worked with. Now I have Dr. Wright and Verenia on my MAPT team who do the one-on-one application students, so I can focus on Application Academy and making podcasts and YouTube videos and other free stuff.
Yeah.
What was it like to figure out all of the military stuff, all of the academic issues? What was it like trying to craft your story and tell your story the best way possible for you?
I don't think it was too hard after reading your books, like through the application book and personal statement book. I kind of read through them all and like the overall theme is just kind of tell your own story and think of the most impactful moments for you in each activity. And I kind of just, you know, sat down and thought about the past like 7 years that I had just gone through and kind of listed out all these like impactful moments that occurred throughout my journey and at each activity and just kind of listed them out. And so I don't think it was too hard, you know, relating it all into the application.
Mm-hmm. And remind me, application wise, this application cycle that we worked together, had you applied previously?
No.
Okay.
This was first time.
First time. So one and done. Spoiler alert, thanks. You got in. So the process of crafting a personal statement, application, secondaries, was it more time consuming than you thought? Less time consuming? Just a lot? It's like, what was that like in terms of workload and everything that went into an application?
It was way more than I thought. I was like, this is crazy. You know, like writing your first drafts of everything. Mm-hmm. You think they're going to be okay. Then you send them out, like have someone look at them. And then they come back with all these edits and like, oh, okay, we're going to do them all, like, rewrite them, rework them. And that took a lot. And then secondary start coming in. I think I submitted mine in August, I believe. And I hadn't pre-wrote secondaries that much because I just didn't get the time to. Yeah, bad idea.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it was way more work than I expected. The secondaries just roll in.
Yeah, as they say, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Like, yeah. Even though we were working together, I can't force people to finish things. So,
yeah,
that's always the struggle. But you got stuff in, you submitted. How much imposter syndrome, if any, did you have going through this process in terms of, okay, I'm going to click submit. like nobody's going to want me. Nobody's going to interview me or send me a secondary or whatever. What was that thought process like for you?
Those were all the thoughts in my head. It's like, I was like, there's no way like I'm as good as many of these other applicants that are applying. And it was like, I made it through my prereqs and stuff. I was like, yeah, I did good. I didn't do the greatest on the MCAT. So that didn't bolster my confidence at all, but I still, you know, just kind of pushed forward and put those thoughts aside and just, you know, it is what it is. Send it out into the world and whatever will come back, it's meant to be.
Yeah. What was it like the first interview invite that you got?
I was super excited. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got that first interview invite. I was like, oh my goodness. Like somebody thinks they want me.
I'm a stud. I got this.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It's validation, right? Validation for those years and years and years of putting in the work of overcoming. It's amazing. It's such a great feeling.
Oh yeah. Just, you know, 5 years of stress and worry, and then you finally get an interview invite and you're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
You're like, I can't breathe the sigh of relief yet, but you know, at least I've made it to an interview.
Yeah. So how many interviews did you end up getting in total?
I got 10 in total.
10 in total. There were 10 schools that were like, yep, we don't care about your academic dismissal.
Yeah.
Great job overcoming, showing resilience, bouncing back. Great job with that upward trend. All amazing, amazing to get you there.
I didn't expect that at all.
Yeah. How long was it until your kind of ideal dream school sent you an interview invite?
They were my first interview invite.
They were the first one.
They were the first one, but I didn't hear back from them for the last month. So, you know, they took their time.
Yeah. So you go to them for your first interview. And again, you and I were working together, so we did some interview prep. What was the interview day like for you? Obviously, we're in a Zoom world. I think they were a Zoom virtual interview as well. Was it kind of surreal? Be like, wow, like this is happening. It really was me that they wanted. It wasn't just like an email that went astray.
Yeah. Oh, they didn't make a mistake. All right. No, it was crazy. Yeah, they. I was really scared, nervous, mainly because it was my first interview. I was hoping I would get like one other interview out of the way before that school, but it didn't work out that way. And I think it went pretty well. But yeah, it was surreal and scary. Lots of emotions.
So you had 9 other interview invites. How many did you end up going on?
I went to 4 of them. I turned down the other 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming you turned down the other 6 after you got an acceptance that you were okay with. Exactly. You're like, if I got no other acceptance, I'm good here. What was it like to get that one that you're like, I'm good. I'm going to medical school no matter what.
Yeah. I was great because I got 2 acceptances in the same day. And I was elated. I was like, man. And they were my like top choices for those type like DO programs. And I was like, I am happy. I've made it. Like I can breathe a sigh of relief because at least I know I'm going to be a physician at a school that I thoroughly enjoy.
Yeah. What was the time period between those acceptances, knowing that you were getting in somewhere and getting the acceptance at your dream school, your state school?
It was 5 months.
It's a long time.
Difference, I think. Yeah. And my dream school, I interviewed with them in September.
Yeah.
And so they were doing rolling acceptances, and I would, in the forums I was following, you know, and I just kept seeing they're like, oh, they filled 40 spots, they filled 50 spots, and I just kept getting more and more worried. I was like, man, I still haven't heard back from them.
Yeah. What were you doing to stay in touch with them, to bug them, updates? Like, what were you doing in those 5 months? Nothing.
I couldn't do anything. I reached out to them. I asked, I was like, are update letters allowed? Can I submit these like letters of intent? And they said, you know, after the interview, we don't allow our applicants to submit anything further. Yeah. So
nothing.
I just kind of had to sit on my hands. And
don't call us. We'll call you.
Yeah.
Wow. That's stressful.
It was rough.
You finally got the notification. Was it a phone call? Was it an email? What was that?
It was an email. They had sent an email the day before, and they're like, you know, we finished our applicant pool, like who we're going to interview. And whoever's still waiting on a decision will hear by like 5 o'clock tomorrow. Mm. And I was like, I was pretty nervous. I was like, okay, I gotta go do something to take my mind off it. I went to the gym. I was working out and counting down the minutes still till 5 o'clock hit. And then I was texting my friend. I was like, I'm like shaking right now. It's coming out in like 10 minutes. Like, speak it into existence with me.
Yeah.
And then the email came a couple minutes early. I like yelled it out in the gym, and I called my friend, and we were just yelling on the phone together. I think people thought I was crazy.
That's a good crazy.
It was a good time. It was good. It was good crazy.
That's good.
I was like, I'm leaving. I promise. I'm gone.
Yeah, it's not a library, folks. It's a gym. Jeez. Yeah. that's awesome. So your friend was the first phone call. Who was the first family member that you called?
I went home. Like, now I'm living with my I moved back home to help with my grandma. So I'm living with my mom now, and I got home and I just like walked into the room dancing.
Nice.
Like, I made it.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what was her response?
Oh, she was super happy. Yeah. She was like on a Zoom call with a bunch of her friends, and she like held the computer up, and we were all dancing.
That's awesome.
That was fun.
That's
good.
Awesome. So you're on theoretically the other side of this now, having gotten into medical school, gotten into the school that you want to go to. What's next preparation wise for medical school and in the next few years?
Prep. I'm just gonna relax a little bit, you know. I'm trying to get back in shape from all those stress pounds over the years. Mm-hmm. And just be in a place that I'm happy about, and like my mind's right and just ready for the next craziness of the next 4 years.
Nice.
To start in a few months.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, congratulations on all of your success. Turning lemons into lemonade, as they say, turning some bad eyesight, bad color vision from a failed pilot career to one now where you can go impact the lives of many people as a physician. And so you're just at the start of that journey, and I wish you the best of luck moving forward, and thank you for letting me be a small part of that journey with you.
No. I really appreciate it. I think you were a big portion of that journey with me. Like, honestly, would not be here if I hadn't heard that from you. So, I appreciate it. Thank you.
What final words of wisdom do you have for someone listening to this? Maybe they were recently academically dismissed from their school, and they've always wanted to be a doctor, right? Opposite of you. They've always wanted to be a doctor, and now they think they can never do that.
I don't know that. That's like a tough one. It took me a lot of like emotional growth for me to get to a point where I didn't really focus on my past anymore. So I think like words of encouragement, I know it's for people who may be in the same position, it's hard, you know, when you have this big thing from your past looming over you, it makes you stressed out, and it's tough, I know, sometimes to realize that and identify that maybe there's a problem, that you need to take a step back, but like that's the first step in progress, and you shouldn't let your past dictate where you're going to go in the future. And you should instead just, you know, leave it in the past where it belongs, move forward, learn from it, get your mindset right, and, you know, reset. And then I think, like, the biggest thing for me that really helped was, you know, usually I'm a lone wolf. I kind of stick to myself. I do my own thing. But my first time back into college, the second time, I kind of allowed myself to, you know, meet other people and kind of learn from other people. And they weren't necessarily pre-meds. They were kind of just everybody. And I met some of my best friends in there, and developing that support network was super important. So, you know, just be open to meeting new people. You know, someday they'll be like my friends, and they'll be those friends that stay until, you know, 3 a.m. in the library, after your car got broken into the day before the lab final, and your backpack was stolen, and you failed the lab final because you're so stressed out, and now you have to pass the real final. So they pushed you, and they made sure I passed that final. So I really wouldn't be here without my support network. So, you know, just look for those people and stick with the people who have the same mindset as you.
All right, there you have it. Again, Justin sharing his story from academically dismissed to medical school acceptance. It's a great story. I love sharing these stories with you. Look, I've been told recently by someone that they didn't know all of the stuff that you can do working with me or my team. One of the biggest things to work with me is Application Academy, applicationacademy.com. It's closed for the 2022-2023 year, but if you're applying later on, go check it out, applicationacademy.com. If you need some help with your applications, whether that's essay editing or full application prep, go check out Mapped, MAPPD.com. We have two advisors over there, or three, really, four, including me. But the rest of my team does most of the one-on-one advising at this point. We have Dr. Scott Wright, former director of admissions at UT Southwestern Medical School. He used to run the whole TMDSAS application service. We have Verinia Granum, who was the former assistant dean for STEM and pre-health advising at Hofstra. We have Rachel Grubbs, my co-founder at Mapped, who is a 20-year expert in the MCAT and pre-med space. Verinia and Dr. Wright do the one-on-one application cycle advising, and then Rachel also does just one-time calls with students looking for some help in their pre-med journey. So go check it out, mapped.com, M-A-P-P-D.com. And don't forget to go check out a free Blueprint MCAT account and get access to their free half-length diagnostic, full-length exam, study planner tool, as well as their amazing free flashcard set. Again, that's blueprintmcat.com. Have a great week. We'll see you next time here on The Pre-Med Years.
This is MedEd Media.